This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
It's Glenn and it's Michael, and my God, we may as well get her in, shouldn't we?
Well, I've never met her.
Well,
I've never met her.
There you go.
And you have.
Well, I have, because she came in a few months ago while
where
you were on holidays.
Oh.
But, well, you've met her right now, haven't you?
Yeah.
Because here she is, star of Legally Blonde. Hello, Lucy Durack.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, we're really good,
well,
thanks.
Yes.
Good, good. You're looking very gorgeous, both of you.
Well,
very sparkly.
Coming thanks. From you, that means a lot.
Yeah.
Look, and I mean it. No, yeah. I don't say it, but I mean it.
Good on you.
Good on you.
Exactly, right back at you then, because we went to Legally Blonde the other night, and we loved it. What a feel-good musical.
It is a feel-good musical. I think that's the nicest thing about being part of it. I really like the show, and this is really the most fun job I've ever had. And I think that's the crux of it, is that I was in the audience once myself. I saw it on Broadway and I saw it on the West End.
Mm.
And I was the person coming out going, yes, I feel so good.
Yeah.
And I really want to make sure that people have that experience. And I think the show itself lends itself to that feeling anyway. It's nice to be part of something so uplifting.
Having watched it then in on Broadway and in the West End, are you better? Do you think you're better?
Yeah, only joking. No, the first time I saw it, I saw Laura Bell Bundy.
Oh,
and I was like, whoa. I never ever thought that I'd even audition for it. I was like, that's crazy. She's so good. That's crazy. And then I didn't see Sheridan Smith, who was the original London. I saw Carly Stenson, I think her name is.
Right.
She was awesome as well. She was so great. And both times I was like, whoa, no, I don't think I can do that. That looks way too hard. Were both so incredible.
I mean, seeing both of those performances and also seeing the film, did that then add a whole lot of pressure? How did you approach it then?
Well, I loved the film growing up, and I'd actually done quite a bit of research. When I played Glinda in Wicked, I thought, I really wanted her to have that Valley Girl accent. And I thought, I think Reese Witherspoon in Legally Blonde would be a really good kind of character study. So I mixed a bit of her into how I wanted to play Glinda. And so then when this came up, I was like, people are going to just think that's all I can do. That's all I've been doing for the last 5 or 6 years.
Playing that kind of character opposite Millsy.
I mean, really, it's a hard life.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't think it is. They're not at all alike, though, are they, Glinda? And
they're actually very different.
Yeah,
and I think that's why I actually auditioned for Legally Blonde over 8 months, because they kept saying, you sounded a bit like Glinda. And I'm like, funny that. I was doing the production of Wicked in Adelaide at the time of flying back in and out. And I did quite a lot of work, because this, particularly the singing style, is really different to that of Wicked. And I'm allowed to use my own, I was allowed to use my own speaking pitch in Wicked, but I love Kristen Chenoweth, and I just thought it was important to, I think that it's funnier when it's got that Kristen Chenoweth kind of Karen from Will & Grace vibe to Glinda. So I chose to speak in a higher pitch than I speak in real life. Whereas with Elle, I kind of can speak a bit more like myself, but with an American accent.
Now, one of the great things is the music, or definitely the tunes in it. What was it like sort of approaching, working with some of that great music? Bringing some of that stuff to life?
Well, that's what's great, is that there are so many different musical genres in this show. You know, you've got your classic Broadway-style musical theatre stuff, and then you've got your Irish stuff, and you've got your kind of 90s pop ballad, and you've got your kind of MTV-vibed stuff. And it's been really nice to have a go at some of that more pop sort of side of musical theatre, and that has been just really fun. But it did take, I worked a lot with a singing teacher here in Melbourne actually called Tim Smith, and also my singing teacher who I'd had in Sydney who moved to London, so I did some Skype singing lessons with him, Jeremy Powell.
Is that a bit weird, singing lessons via Skype?
It worked out quite well, because it was early. I did it before my rehearsal, and rehearsals would start at like 9 or 10, and so I'd get up at like 7. I went and warned both my neighbours. I live in an apartment building on both sides. Okay, I'm really sorry, but I'm doing singing lessons at about 7 a.m.
Wow.
Here's some chocolate. I love you. And it was great. And Jem would get up. It would be late at night for him in London.
Yeah.
And we'd have a Skype session. Then
and if you were getting it wrong, would you just turn him down?
Yeah, no, I can't hear it.
Sorry. Wow.
Oh, it's brilliant. And the cast is also fantastic. So included in it is Cameron Daddo, yes. Erica Haynes, Mike Snell.
Yes.
I don't know, like, how is it?
Cameron Daddo.
Cameron, yes.
Yeah.
Cameron Daddo.
Yeah. How is it working with some of these people?
Oh, it's great. I'd never worked with Cam before, and he's such a lovely guy. He's just a big hippie at heart, really. Mm-hmm. And he's so opposite to his character of Callahan, who's a bit sort of a nasty character. Cam, he's a lovely, lovely person, and someone I've really admired growing up and loved watching him on, you know, Perfect Match and all that sort of thing. So it's been really nice to meet and work with him.
Is it kind of surreal then, suddenly working with him?
It really was. He's a lot taller than I thought he would be in real life. He's very handsome. He's the most handsome Callahan I think they've ever had in the world in any production of Legally Blonde. But then, of course, David Harris. It's so
I loved David Harris in it.
I love him. He's so awesome. And this is like David and my fourth or fifth show together.
Really?
So we love working together. We're up to all sorts of hijinks. And, of course, working with Mills again. This is our third show together. So that's really nice to work with him again.
He just got voted off of
I know.
Apprentice,
he got fired last night on The Apprentice. Luckily, he's got jobs coming out of his ears other areas of his life.
I don't believe he was relying solely on that, was he?
Nah, he's about to do Grease, for God's sake.
I know. We'll be losing him soon.
When do you finish with this? Where does it go from Melbourne? Or
I don't know that it's going anywhere after Melbourne. We're here for a few months and we've been thrilled with how well it's been selling here. The Melbourne audiences have just been brilliant.
Musical for Melbourne, to be honest. It's just it's not too serious. It's just a great fun night out. And what I loved about it was that it was just so tight. The sequence of everything, you don't have to think too hard. I think that it is perfect for Melbourne.
Yeah, thanks. Well, we're feeling that. Melbourne audiences, and I think because it's a cleverly written show, it won the Laurence Olivier Award for Best New Musical in London because it is a really smart show. Yeah. So it's not just a silly piece. It's great fun, but it's also really smartly written. So I think Melbourne audiences appreciate that we've just been loving it. And we're loving being in the Princess Theatre. It's so beautiful. And having it all lit up pink is pretty fun.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, we've got this message coming from Craig. Hi, guys. I'm going to see Legally Blonde on Sunday. Very excited. He's in the front row.
Oh, my God.
Now, he hasn't asked for this, but I would imagine you'll probably want to jump down and say hi.
Craig, I will wave to you. When we do the bows at the very end, we do a number, and then at the very last minute, we wave goodbye. And, Craig, I will be looking for you, so wave back at me.
Done.
Good on you, Lucy Durack.
I noticed we didn't get that, Glenn.
No.
Need to come back. I'll wave to you then.
All right. Actually, we've got the arms. We're going to be giving tickets away in a minute.
We are as well. Someone's going to win tickets for what night is it, Michael?
It is for June 5th.
June the 5th. Yep. So, Lucy Durack, you'll have to be looking out for the wonderful Joy Listener.
In fact, I think we've just won them, Glenn. Yes.
I'm sure that's how it works, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. How dare you?
Definitely.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, it's a long run for Legally Blonde here in Melbourne. We're playing all the way through to... for a few months anyway.
Yeah. We're here till sort of the end of September, I think, at this point. Wow. So that's good.
And do you know what's next then for you? What's happening?
I have a few possibilities, but I have to tell you about them later.
All righty. It's always the way, isn't it?
Exactly.
Well, that means you've got to come back.
Yeah, love to.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Costume party.
Yes, I love them.
Yes.
You love them.
I do indeed love. I never used to. Oh. But certainly over the last few years, I've made up for my dislike of costume parties over the, you know, the long stead of costumes that I've gone in.
We mentioned it last week, didn't we? And we were having trouble with some ideas.
Well, I was going to a fur party.
Yeah.
So it's the start of winter, 1st of July, 1st of June. Going to a fur party, needed a costume.
And then we went out after we'd been on air.
Well, there were lots of great suggestions, but none where I sort of thought, yes, that's it.
No.
And, we went out afterwards, didn't we? Mm-hmm. And friend of the show, Nicole, Debbie Donut's friend, said, why don't you go?
She had a few, didn't she?
Well, she had a few, yeah.
Gold one was
Frankenfurter.
Yes.
And I thought any excuse to get in some heels.
To be a transvestite.
Exactly.
Yes.
I can tell you, Michael Dalton, there's an update.
I'm ready.
Right, because
I have been asked.
What sort of, you know, what sort of things does Frankenfurter wear?
Well, he normally wears a corset and stockings and suspenders and heels and a big pearl necklace.
Exactly. Yep. Well, on Sunday, I tripped off to Spotlight.
Oh, yeah, they're having a sale, aren't they?
Oh, yes. I don't think the sale was on fur, but nevertheless, there was plenty of fur there.
Great.
And so I got big hole, couple of a meter of black fur and a meter of purple fur. Took them around to my friend Tim's house, who's got this old decrepit sewing machine that you nearly need to wind up to use. And he said, bring a pair of your undies over. So I took a pair of my underwear over. He then cut out like a little pattern, everything like that. Now I've got a pair of short purple underwear.
They've been made already.
Wow. I can't stop wearing them.
You've got to. Otherwise, when you put them on, they're not going to feel special.
Exactly right. Yeah. Yes, very true. I did go and order some fishnet stockings with suspenders on eBay.
You ordered them?
They arrived this afternoon.
Have you put them on already?
Not yet. Oh, no, they were just in the... So they were in the letterbox when I was like walking out to come here. Right, and I opened it and I saw a package. Because I'd ordered a couple of other little things on eBay.
Yeah,
I like opened up the thing and I was like, oh yeah, that's the suspended stockings. Put them back in the letterbox, everything like that. So they're sitting there. Hopefully no one hears this and goes and takes them.
Yes. What address is it again?
Yes.
Mirror.
Yes. Yeah. I've got a corset from the last time I did drag.
Of course you have. Yes.
I do need to get or maybe borrow from you a pair of black heels.
I may have some.
Yes. Think you might. And I think I'm set.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are ready.
I need to work out what I'm doing with my makeup, though.
All right. Well, aren't you going to get a man in?
No. Well, he's away.
One of the gay.
Yeah.
No.
I know.
Well, I'd offer, but, you know, I look like I've been using crayons.
That's all right.
You know.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk.
Oh,
it's all going on.
Exciting. With pictures. We need them already.
Yes. Well, wait, next week on our Facebook page, we'll put some pictures
up. Well, we were going to have a word about that. Maybe we'll do that a bit later. But what we're going to do, because we haven't got any guests next week. We don't want any.
Nah.
As much as we love our guests, you know, of course. But it's all about Radiothon. So we thought we might put some pictures of us up, which I realise sounds a bit, you know, indulgent.
A little bit.
But it won't be.
Nah.
We are going to find some of the ugliest pictures of ourselves.
Yep.
Just to equal out all the cheesy smiles that we normally have in all the other pictures.
Exactly. Unattractive photos we're going to put up. And who knows what this Frankenfurter costume is going to look like.
Okay, that won't be unattractive, but it will be fun and a bit, you know, not like our usual smiley ones.
Exactly. So, stick around for that.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
King Kong, of course, is a great big furry animal, and I mentioned earlier I'm going to a fur party this weekend, and with the wonderful support of our listeners and et cetera, going as Frankenfurter.
Yes.
Including with, tight little short purple furry shorts.
Yeah.
A corset, which I'm probably going to decorate with some kind of fur. I don't know. But before that, friends and I, we went for a bit of a walk down Chapel Street to try and see just what the kind of charity shops had.
Oh, yes.
You know, as you do. And so we're walking down there the other day and, you know, trying to find like different sorts of things and walking into different shops. And, you know, there's, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of fur, unfortunately.
No, there never is.
No. But we walked into one shop and I immediately, as we walked in, spotted a sign on the front door that said, we support, well, it had a rainbow on it, and it said, we support GLBTI charities. And I thought, well, this seems like my kind of shop.
Yeah.
Because I love a charity case.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, walked in there and everything like that. And we're like, it wasn't really a charity shop. It was more kind of a shop. But we're sort of like picking out like fur jackets and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so how much is this? And the guy's like, I think that one's about $60 or how much? Oh, that one's a bit more. That's $200. And how much is it? Look, I'll need to go and ask Roger about that one, but I think that one's about $80.
Did he work there?
Well, I don't know. I did think about asking that. But anyway, I didn't. Anyway, then Roger came from the back. And he was like, oh, no, no, this one here. And then don't worry, boys, we'll look after you. And, you know, if you want to buy some things, like, it'll be much cheaper than that. And, you know, that one, I think that one's like 30 foot, whatever.
I don't like that.
No, no, didn't like it at all. Anyway, then we're like, oh, look, thanks. And we kind of left. And he, Roger came out of the shop and he said, boys, come back, come back. And so we went back into the shop and he said, I was with Zach, oh, look at this little stand you were, you had your arm on. And we're like, yeah. And he said, well, look at what it actually is. It was like a big wooden stand, about kind of waist height, that you kind of put umbrellas in, but it was in the shape of something. What do you think it might have been in the shape of?
A willy.
Yeah, a willy.
What was it made out of, and why wood. Was it? What was,
I don't know.
Well, they're all made of wood.
It's for sale at the charity shop,
really,
or the whatever.
And what
shop.
Do you do with it?
I think you put your umbrella in it.
Really?
Apparently.
Oh.
I don't know.
Who made it? Don't go to anything else. I want to know more about it.
I don't know who made it.
I want a picture. Did you not get a picture?
No. I needed to run out of there. I can go back.
Well, I want to know. Hold on. So it's there. You put your umbrella in it.
Yeah. Hey,
but how is it? That means it's still like a...
So it's like basically a great big dick. And then it's got like sort of room around the edge of it that you kind of put your umbrellas on. And Zach kind of was leaning on it.
And he ran back, ran out to get you.
He ran on to
let you know that.
To tell three gay boys to come back and have a look at the giant big wooden penis that you can put your umbrellas in.
Wow.
I know.
Were you tempted to buy it?
No.
Sit on it?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Put your brolly in it?
Maybe.
God.
Who knows what's been on it?
I bet they have.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.